Well, during the Advent and Christmas seasons, many of us are blessed to be constantly surrounded by family and friends. But sometimes we do experience discomfort, sorrow, or even pain when we encounter family who have strayed from the faith or left the church completely. With us today to offer some suggestions on how to re-engage our beloved family members in conversations about the faith is Molly Shore, Director of Religious Education at Incarnation Church in Sarasota, Florida, and the founder of Return. Molly, good to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful to have you on. Well, now, obviously to me, but maybe not to all of our listeners, you have some strong Minnesota ties, hence we decided to dip into the well that is you again. But give us a little bit of an update about what's going on with you since you moved away to Florida.
Yeah, well, I won't tell all the listeners that it's 73 degrees and sunny right now. But it's been definitely a gift from God, truly listening to him and discerning his plan for our family to move down here. And we've really fallen in love with the area and the community and the church that we work at, and the kids are at the school connected to it. It's just been a blessed move, and really been able to bring Return to a larger market too down here and have new churches and new people kind of experience the process of equipping themselves to talk to their loved ones and come back to the church.
Right, right. Wonderful. Well, let's get right into that. You know, we're coming up on Christmas, which is a time of year when family members are together, and there can be, and oftentimes is, some tension between those for whom Mass is a central part of Christmas celebrations and those who only attend Mass at Christmas and Easter, and those who no longer attend Mass at all. So what advice, Molly, would you give to those of us who would love to see our loved ones come to Mass with us, especially at these important times of year, but we don't really know how to broach the topic?
I think the first thing to keep in mind is that for a lot of people, this might be one of the first Christmases in the last couple of years that people feel comfortable gathering together. And so the most important thing is to be grateful for those gathered around the table, to share with them how much you love them and how glad you are that they are able to be there in person. That has been a unique situation for us, and I think one that we have to really recognize as a gift when we can gather together. I think another thing, too, really that's important is to be patient with ourselves and with our loved ones. Sometimes we feel that when we get them together, that the message has to come out because you have to capitalize on the opportunity. And I think it's important to recognize that our loved ones need to know that we love them first. Like, first and foremost, they need to know that we are in their corner and we love them. That is one of the first steps to build that bridge of trust in order to be able to have conversations with them that dive deeper. If some of the work has already been put in place, and if you've already had conversations with your loved ones about faith, and especially I have seen with COVID, a lot of people have started to question and wonder, you know, is there more than this? Is there something greater than this? I've seen an openness to faith really explode in a lot of people because of the pandemic that's, you know, wreaked havoc on the entire world. And so sometimes that openness allows an opportunity to have a conversation about where they are in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Do they know him? Do they see him? Do they see him as a person that they can reach out to and pray with and have Jesus be an active kind of participant in their life? Or is he still kind of someone at arm's length that they're not sure about? And I think some of those conversations can start to happen. I think the invitation to Mass really has to be on a case-by-case basis, and really used as an opportunity if some of those conversations have already begun. Mass can be overwhelming for people that haven't experienced it in a long time, and especially at Christmas when there's so many people that attend. It really needs to be made sure that the person is right in a good space to be able to really experience the gift that is the liturgy, and especially that within the Eucharist.
Right. Well, you're getting into really my next question, which was along the lines of, I know it can happen that, you know, you invite family members in, especially if it's sons or daughters, and especially if they're bringing grandchildren and that sort of thing. And even out of a well-intentioned place, a well-intentioned heart, it can be tempting to institute this rule that if you're staying in our home, you will go to Mass with us. But I'm guessing, based on whatever you're saying, all the things that you're saying, that that is not such a great idea. Can you expand on that a little bit and tell us why not? Why not institute that rule?
Yeah, and I can do it by just a quick story. Recently, my youngest sister came to visit us here in Sarasota, and she is one that has definitely strayed from the faith and is really in a process right now of trying to figure out what her life is and where she's at. And we obviously, our family goes to Mass. It's part of our weekly routine and what we do as a family. And I had an opportunity to either push it because she was staying with us and otherwise she'd sit at home with no car, or use it as an invitation. And so I just kind of said, hey, if you want to come with us, we'd love to have you. Otherwise, you can borrow my husband's car and we'll meet up with you for dinner afterwards. And she came. And I remember during the liturgy just praying that the Mass would touch her in some capacity. And again, an opportunity after Mass to either harp on it and say, now, wasn't that great? Aren't you glad that you were here? Or just let the conversation go as it goes. And she made a comment about the priest homily, and he had made a joke that she thought was funny. And she's like, yeah, no, it seemed like a really good place. And that was it. And it was just an opportunity for a seed to be planted. And so I think dictums and rules, especially with people that are seeking and trying to understand what this faith all means, can often be met with resistance and opposition. And so to be as open about it and as, hey, we'd love to have you, but no pressure, tends to help our loved ones feel that, again, it's about the relationship with them that is the most important, that we're seeking this relationship and this, growth with them as a person, and not, we love them only if they go to Mass, and only if they do what we ask them to do in the walls of our home. That can be tricky.
Yeah, well, that's what's going through my head, too, is that if we kind of set the groundwork in saying that we only love you if you go to Mass, then that seems to translate pretty easily into God only loves you if you go to Mass, right? And that is clearly not the message of Scripture, of our faith, that in fact it was, well, Romans 5 tells us that while we were still sinners, while we were running away from God, God proved his love for us, and that's when Christ died for us. And yeah, it seems to me that that's the best way to carry that on to our loved ones and friends. So, speaking of that love, you've given some suggestions already, Molly. But what's the best approach to really showing our love, showing our care for our family members, without demanding that they be who we want them to be? Living a full Catholic life.
I think the biggest thing honestly comes down to our ability to translate the joy of our faith to our loved ones. We, especially in this time of Advent and Christmas, which can be very stressful and sometimes bring out the worst in people, depending on their stress level, I think it's so important that we radiate the love and the joy that Christ has for all of us to our loved ones. They need to walk into our homes and feel at peace and feel that there is this love that is there, that is palpable, that they can't even really put their finger on. Our loved ones need to sense that even regardless of if the turkey gets burned or the packages don't get delivered on time or the Christmas cards become Lenten cards, that we still have a joy because we're celebrating not a secular holiday, but the birth of our Savior. And that joy is what sustains us through all the bumps and the ups and downs, especially during the season. I think that message that can be translated a lot of times without words can be so inspiring in a time when a lot of our loved ones see that, again, Christmas brings out the icky sometimes in people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do, as you're speaking, Molly, I'm already thinking about things that we can do for loved ones here in my own home, in my own situation, that things like even just, well, I know that my wife and I always want our home to be a place of welcome to whomever might come through our doors, right? And so even things like praying God's peace over the space, over home, you know, adding maybe a special home blessing before the holidays and before you entertain people, you know, thinking through, this may be something small, but I know when my elderly father comes to visit us, he likes the house warmer than we usually keep it, you know, so something like that.
Yep.
I mean, it just seems like these types of small things, like you said, oftentimes without words, are things that we can do and are so easy to do, but in the long run, in eternity, might bear tremendous amounts of fruit, right?
Yep. And it's easy to get caught up in the arguments and discussions. Oftentimes our loved ones come in on the defense, prepared to argue with us yet again about going to church or not going to church. And so to change the narrative, don't get sucked into some of that. Recognize that if there is a comment made about the faith or about our practice of the faith, it's coming from a place of misunderstanding and to not get sucked into a defensive mode back, and to not try to convince them yet again, but just receive the comment and the criticism with love and with patience, recognizing that that can communicate far more than any words that we can say.
Right. Right. And that love that you talk about sharing can be rather it can be it can dispel some of that defensiveness. It can be just a pathway to leading. Oh, okay. Well,
right.
I can be more at peace about this, which is exceptionally important when it comes to the love of our family members, and especially around this time of year, as you've already pointed out. Wonderful. Anything else that might be good for people to bear in mind as they're headed into this holiday season, as, you know, we ourselves, as you already said, get caught up in the busyness of the season, even those of us who try really hard to place Christ right at the center of Advent, at the center of Christmas, we can get caught up in the details and the busyness and anything. Any advice you would have for us to maintain our own lives of faith in the midst of this?
I think it's just carving out those moments in the day to remember what this season is all about. If you're stuck in the grocery store line, take a moment and say a prayer. If you are waiting at the post office, take a moment and say a prayer. If you get caught off in traffic, take a moment and say a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's recognizing that it is busy. Oftentimes I get to December 26th and wonder what happened to Advent. And so it's being intentional about the free moments that God gives us, and also being aware, not trying to fill them, but taking a moment to pause, taking a moment to pray, taking a moment to remember what this season is about, so that on December 26th, our lives have been altered and changed because of our intentionality during this Advent season.
Wonderful. Well, Molly, only a couple seconds left here, but I do want to promote Return. Can you give us just a very brief synopsis of what Return is all about and how people can find out more?
Yeah, so Return Faith is a 7-part series that really works on equipping loved ones equipping participants to have conversations with their loved ones to draw them back to the faith. The series can be done many different ways, and parishes can host either completely an online video series or a complete in-person series. So more information can be found at our website at returnfaith.org. And now that some of the COVID restrictions are being lifted, there are a few more parishes that are going to be running Return this spring and this summer. So keep an eye on our website for information about local parishes that are hosting it.
Fantastic. Well, Molly, thank you for taking the time to join us today and give us some good tips on how to engage with our family members around this holy season. I hope that you and yours, Molly, have a blessed Advent and a very happy and celebratory Christmas season as well. God bless you, Molly. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Patrick. God bless you, too.
All right. Molly Shore, founder of Return Faith, and you can find out more again at returnfaith.com. joyofgiving.org. All right, it's time for our first break. Stick around, though, because we'll be back with good news of great joy for all people of the Archdiocese coming soon to the Cathedral of St. Paul. We'll be right back.